This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. America's bird population is in decline. Some studies show that as much as 30% of the population across species has been lost. So what's to blame for this truly shocking loss of birds? Well, new research from universities, including Boise State University, is now painting a more complete picture of what is causing this decline. And there are two factors, light and noise pollution, which are human-caused. Joining us to talk to us more about this is Jesse Barber, biology professor at Boise State, who helped lead this study. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Okay, so Jesse, in the study, you worked with Cal Poly and other universities. What exactly was the question that you were investigating?
Well, we were attempting to understand how light and noise pollution could be structuring bird populations across the continental United States.
Okay, so can we talk about some of the terms? So both of us have said noise pollution and light pollution. So you're basically talking about like any non-natural light or noise sources in the environment, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. And these are sources that we know have been increasing. So for instance, in light pollution, we know there's about a 6% increase per year. And that's kind of a hard number to think about, but astronomers consider about 99% of the United States light polluted. Mm. And only about 80% of us can see the Milky Way from our house. So there's this pervasive light across the entire country. And noise is no different. And it has also been increasing dramatically. So this is just an interesting statistic to place that in context. From 1970 to about 2010, there was about a one-third increase in our population, but a tripling of the number of miles that we drive and fly. And of course, transportation is one of the major sources of noise.
Okay. So Jesse, I just want to make it clear though, that like these are, when we're talking about the terms noise pollution and light pollution, that these are all human caused sources, right?
Yep, they're all human caused sources. That's exactly what we're studying. And we have a lot of smaller scale research that has indicated that they can be significant problems for wildlife. And those studies led us to the hypotheses behind this larger work. And the power of this study we're talking about today is the sheer scale. So there's some really interesting underlying pieces of data here. The bird data comes from a program that Cornell has run for decades called Nest Watch, where citizen scientists find nests and track them from when they lay eggs until hopefully those baby birds fledge, they leave the nest. And we winnowed down almost 200,000 observations of nests to about 58,000 that we really trusted, just taking out some of the sort of outlandish things that you might find in errors. And then we laid those on top of light and noise maps of the entire lower 48. And then, you know, look to see what are these sensory stimuli doing to birds. The light layers come from NASA satellites, and then the noise layers come from the National Park Service.
So I'm curious to know what some examples you can give us for noise and light pollution, maybe here in Idaho. I mean, in particular, because we actually have, in Stanley, I'm trying to remember the actual term, but where, you know, you don't have that light pollution. It's a reserve.
Right. Yeah. It's from the Dark Skies Association.
Yeah.
Dark Skies Reserve. Yeah. I mean, we definitely have some of the quietest and darkest places left. But we also have an incredibly urbanized front country area, in no small part because our back country is so protected. Mm. But what that means is that we have a lot of land that's exposed to a lot of light and noise. Think about Highway 55 on the way up to McCall, how consistently busy that is with traffic, meaning that for, you know, up to a kilometer surrounding that road in rare riparian habitat in this part of the country, we're spreading noise.
Okay, so let's talk about that noise pollution then and what you learned when it comes to reproduction of birds. Because is there an example of a species in our area that's dealing with this problem?
So the analyses we did were across large groups of birds. So we grouped birds by where they lived. Do they live in a closed habitat or in an open one, or mixed between those two? And we did these sort of larger scale analyses. And then we also drilled into individual species. So for example, we found that noise causes pretty significant declines in reproductive success for birds that live in closed habitats, about a 15% decline. And some of the local species that are experiencing this are mountain chickadee, barn swallows, white-breasted nuthatches.
So then I want to make sure I understand this right. So when you're talking about this human created noise, right? It's a pretty low frequency, but it really can make a tremendous impact on the birds and their reproduction cycle.
Yes, I mean, most definitely. Like that is the smoking gun part of this study, is what's going on with these effects from noise pollution. But this is not new to the scientific community. There's been mounting evidence from multiple different directions, dozens of labs, indicating that noise pollution is a threat to wildlife, and it is in fact an environmental pollutant. Now, light is on its way to being recognized similarly, but we found some really interesting findings here from light pollution that kind of go in an interesting positive direction. So one thing we found is that when we compare the brightest sites to the darkest, we see an almost 16% increase in clutch size in closed habitat birds. So meaning they're having more chicks, they're laying more eggs.
And why is that? I mean, do you have a hypothesis as to why? Because you would think it would be the other way around.
Yeah, it's only some birds, and there's definitely lots of mixed data within the single species models. But one of our hypotheses is that it's extending foraging time, that it's giving these animals the ability to forage for longer, thus they can they have more energy, they can produce more eggs, feed more young.
So are there things that people, the average person, can do? Let's go back to noise pollution for a second. Is there anything that we can do to help eliminate some of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot like climate change. There's stuff that there are actions that all of us can take. However, what we really need to do is I think create policy change at a higher level to have a true impact. But if you're in a natural space and you're running a generator, you're using a leaf blower, you know, all the ways that you're making noise, in sum across all of the people in your neighborhood, maybe you're not leaving enough quiet gaps for those birds to live their lives.
So taken together, I mean, you mentioned policy, right? Can we talk a little about that? Because do you think it needs to be, do you think state land managers could put policy into effect, or does it need to come from the federal level? And if so, what would you like to see happen?
Well, I think the best management happens at the local level. So you need to get all kinds of different people that are managing natural lands to recognize this as a pollutant and start to take action. Now, the one agency that is listening to the science is the National Park Service, and they are doing things like installing quiet pavement, crepuscular dusk and dawn road closures, things to make that habitat quieter. But that's the only land management agency that is currently both measuring light and noise levels and also trying to do something about it.
So what would you like to see happen next with this research?
Well, I think probably one of the most interesting things that came out of this, other than really solidifying a lot of other work indicating that these sensory stimuli are pollutants, is the connection with climate change. So one interesting thing we found is that birds were advancing when they lay their eggs in light pollution, sometimes up to a month. So like the American kestrel, a common bird around here, we're seeing these real advances in when they start their clutch, when they lay eggs. And we know that climate change is potentially causing a mismatch between when insects are available and when the birds have young that need to be fed. And it seems there's a consensus in the scientific literature that a lot of birds are doing a pretty good job of tracking that change. But if indeed that data was collected in light polluted areas, that means we might be overestimating their ability to compensate. Mm. And in the dark, the effects of climate change might be even more severe than we think.
So when you say advance, that means like they're having this clutch maybe a month earlier than in previous times.
Yep.
Okay.
In light pollution, correct.
And that then can have this, it's like this trickle down effect, right? I mean, because if you can't feed your young, then there tends to be all of these other issues that would come along with that.
Right. Well, I guess the bigger picture I'm trying to make is that the more we know about how the natural world works, the more we can effectively conserve it and understand where the best places are to put conservation dollars. And noise pollution, light pollution, and climate change might seem like they are not connected, but indeed, like all things in the natural world, they are.
No, I mean, it really does. You're right. You would think just on the surface they don't, but having this conversation, it's very evident how they are. I really appreciate your time. This was a fascinating conversation. I learned a lot. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Boise State University biology professor Jesse Barber, talking about how bird populations in the U.S. are affected by noise and light pollution. And there is new research that Jesse has been doing with that. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.